Everybody talks about how stressful this election has been for voters. But are there any numbers to give us a real handle on this intangible 2016 anxiety? You want stress? Hey, try collecting saliva samples from strangers on the night of one of the presidential debates in a New York City bar.
We're doing a very unusual experiment to assess people's stress level by looking at their cortisol levels. The way we're doing this is with your saliva. Not very much. Let me show it to you.
That's the voice of Elaine Chen, producer for WNYC and Only Human, who with reporter Amanda Aronchik are what we would call political saliva collectors, all part of a project to find the stress markers in voters' saliva to see if we can learn whether stress tracks with party affiliation and fluctuates over time. Well,
we started to look for research that overlapped health and politics.
Mm-hmm.
And we found a couple guys out of Nebraska, two researchers that have worked together for the last 5 or 6 years. And what they dig into is the biological manifestations of stress.
The markers.
Biomarkers. That's okay. What they use to look into stress. And they've set up a few experiments in the past that were like, you know, what happens when you vote from home versus what happens when you vote in a poll.
No kidding.
The other study that they looked into was like, what happens when you're very stressed? And they looked back through election records and they got people's election records for the last 6 elections. And they wanted to see if people who voted in those last 6 elections were high stress people or low stress people using cortisol measurements as the marker.
So cortisol is the suspect you're looking for.
Cortisol is exactly the suspect that we're looking for. And it's a, you know, it's, they call it the stress hormone. And it is a way of, it's not a perfect way of measuring stress, but it is a way of isolating it and looking at how we respond to different situations.
And just so we can get our science correct, let's introduce Elaine Chen, producer for WNYC and Only Human. Elaine, cortisol is obtained from where?
So you can obtain it various ways, from liquids. You could do it through blood. You could do it through urine. But we thought probably trying to do an experiment that involved urine collection was a little bit too much to ask. So we decided to do it through saliva.
You designed an experiment looking at spit, focusing on politically engaged individuals. Is that fair to say?
That's right. And the basic idea is their idea, right? This is something that they've done before. They've done a few studies. And then we said, look, we really want to do something that looks at this election. Are you guys up to anything? And they weren't. So we designed this experiment with them. We tried to think of a night that would sort of distill down like all the heat and fire and passion of the election.
Hey, like debate night, for instance.
Exactly. And so we settled on the first presidential night. And
okay.
We decided that would be the night that we would collect spit samples. We would do it before the debate, at the middle of the debate, and at the end, and we would look for change over the course of the night.
All right, so you went to some bars, really?
Yes, we went to a bunch of bars in New Jersey and New York to try and get a decently diverse politically group of people who would give us multiple spit samples while they watched the debate, which was a special challenge, especially because there were no commercials. So it was very hard to interrupt people's watching. It's like, can you please spit in this tube for me, please?
Oh, I wish I'd been there. Oh, it sounds hysterically funny. So is spit sample a medically precise term?
You know, I don't know what the precise
term is.
That's a spit sampler you have in your hand.
Yes, I mean, yes, it is a spit sampler put in a snack-sized Ziploc bag with 3 teeny test tubes and little straws and a napkin for people's convenience, because it really actually did come in handy. This was Amanda's genius idea, that we give people napkins as they spit into these tubes, because sometimes it didn't all make it in there.
What happened in the debate? How many samples did you collect, and how did you determine the results?
Ultimately, we got around 90-some samples that were usable.
So we sent these off to Professor Kevin Smith and Professor French?
That's right. Jeffrey French is the one who has the lab where he can process all the spit samples. And he has spent most of his career with marmoset monkeys, which are these little monkeys about the size of a squirrel. And he looks at behavior and hormones and social adaptation. And he has worked largely with monkeys, but over the last 5 years, he's collaborated with this political scientist and looked at human behavior as well.
And that's Kevin Smith.
That's right.
And again, reminding people, they're looking for cortisol.
That's right. They're looking for the stress hormone.
What did they find?
I got them both on the phone after all the samples have been processed. They sent us the data, so mm-hmm. we laid it all out and we tried to look for patterns and things that were interesting. But then we got them on the phone and we were like, what are we looking at, guys?
It was certainly stressful to some people. I think one of the interesting things that we found is baseline cortisol levels for Trump voters were higher than they were for Clinton voters by quite a bit.
So baseline means before the debate started, the Trump voters were stressed coming in.
Right. And if you remember, that is not what we were really looking for.
Right.
We were looking for change over the course of the night. But what we ended up seeing was that people walked in the door feeling presumably completely different about the debate that night.
We were interested in looking at the change over the course of the debate, and what we saw was that generally people's cortisol levels just went down, but that's already naturally what's supposed to happen. Actually, your cortisol levels start very high in the morning, and over the course of the day, they go down, and Trump supporters, generally, their cortisol levels went down in the way you would expect, except that they started twice as high as Clinton supporters.
So how did Professor Smith elaborate on these results here?
You know, they're very circumspect about giving a lot of information about this. I think what they said was that the results were really strong. They did not expect to see something so big. If we had looked at a random group of people, we would not have seen anything like this. But it did, in fact, point to some of his other research.
But what it means is this. It's not like you have a gene for being conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat or pro-choice or pro-life. What your genes inarguably do, though, is build biological information systems. They build your brain. They build your autonomic nervous system.
Is Kevin Smith saying there that somehow your genes predispose you to have a specific reaction to the stress event called politics?
I think he wouldn't say it's as direct as that, but I think he would say your genes make it so you have certain predispositions physiologically, and those predispositions seem to correlate with certain political views.
Smith would say that this is consistent with work that they have done in the past, looking at the psychological differences between conservatives and liberals.
So if you present a bunch of pictures on a computer screen, conservatives will discover and lock onto the negative image faster than liberals. Liberals are... they're more likely to seek novel things in their environment, so new stimuli.
So without making any judgments about virtue or positives or negatives here, did your scientists generally feel as though 2016 was a great moment to measure and explore some of these things?
I would say that Kevin Smith, the political scientist, would say it wasn't really a great moment because it was so odd that the election cycle has been so unusual. And all along the way, you know, he was being asked by different media to predict, as a political scientist in Nebraska, what did he think was going to happen. And his predictions kept being wrong. So I think that you look at this cycle and it's very, very strange, and it's unclear if this will inform any other elections in the future.
Producer for WNYC and Only Human, Elaine Chen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Amanda Aronchek, reporter for WNYC and Only Human. Thanks so much. This is great.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.